flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, we're going to send you right now to Ashburn, where Dan Quinn and Adam Peters are taking the podium. Here are those two men.
First huddle up, and you got to earn them. And as sure as hell don't want to, but you do need them to grow. And you truly don't know who you are until you get your ass knocked down and see how you get back up. And if I knew anything about our team, they will absolutely get up swinging. And so as AP and I, we can sit up here and point to every great win this game has given us, but I know we'd also spend more time on the losses, and that still, we still ain't over years later. But all of them led to he and I being here together, and together I wouldn't want to ride strong with anybody else. And so he's been an amazing partner for me all the way through, and so a lot to be thankful for our team. I'm not there yet. I will be one day, but I'm not there today. So all I said, I'll kick it over to Adam, and he'll kick on, then we'll get rocking with you guys.
Yeah, not a ton to add. Just really, you know, like you said, it still stings. We're just still going through it right now. But I can say that although it's not where we want to be right here, sitting next to each other, I'm proud to be sitting next to you, and really proud of this team and what they did and this group of men, and just really thankful for them and how much work they put in, and just really a lot of gratitude today for that group. And you know, that's probably the best way to say it, just a lot of gratitude and a disappointing ending, but very grateful for everybody. So you guys go ahead.
And this is to Adam and to DQ. We're less than a year of you guys really coming together. You've been in the league. You've seen success happen at a certain rate. This was a fast, according to most. How surprised are you that you got to this point this quick?
Well, you know, I think when we got in here, we had a shared vision, and DQ did an incredible job of really instilling that into our players and bringing our guys together and creating a true brotherhood. And, you know, he said that, you know, when we started, the faster we can create that, the better we can be sooner. And I think he did an excellent job with that, and our guys did an excellent job buying into that and living that way. And so just really proud of how quickly that came together.
For me, I thought that was probably the difference between like when you've heard us say the word rebuild and recalibration. And we knew there were some excellent people here, and rebuild would have meant tear down. And that's not how we thought of this at all. And there were so many, you know, people that were here that like were absolutely all in. And so for us getting a chance to visit with, you know, somebody like Tressway today, and to know how much he is in, like, you feel it. And those are, you know, some of the emotions I have for it. And the recalibration meant, like, everybody's bounced, the needle bounces around a little bit, but we found it. And we found who we are and our identity. And like I said, we've the floor has risen, but, like, we're nowhere near where our ceiling's going to be. And that fires me up.
Question for DQ or both of you.
We got to stop with the two, both of them. We can do, yeah.
Dan, it
there
is.
You go.
you've been through this with Atlanta, the coaching carousel stuff, losing assistants. As much as you're still going through the emotions from yesterday, that carousel is moving. How do you prepare? Obviously, Cliff and Joe have gotten requests, but even further down the line, how do you prepare for coming moves that are probably inevitable, and how does that impact your like self-scouting going forward?
Yeah, you better be prepared, right? Because as a staff, if you do well, then those are some of the things that take place from that. And we do have a deep crew, and that was part of the plan all along, that if those moments happen, we'll be ready to adjust. Not only do we develop the players here, Adam and I, we also want to develop coaches. And so, like, everybody in here, like, how do we get better? Where do we go? And so we dig in hard on those. As far as what is, just, you know, more speculation for us, but that is our plan of how we do things. We develop people here.
It's a different situation, perhaps, but that you think apply to what you're going to do now going forward?
Yeah, I think something that when we talked with a lot of the guys today really resonated with, I think, both of us, and that's you know, bringing in the right people and bringing in guys who we see as commanders. And so that's what we'll look for.
AP, what did you make of Marshawn's play this year, and what needs to happen for him to be playing his best going forward?
Yeah, Marshawn, you know, he came into a tough situation. He did, and he was injured when he got here. And so anytime you come into a new team and you're injured, it's really hard to integrate, you know, and plus you're coming in at the end of the season. So at the same time, you're rehabbing, you're learning a new defense, you're trying to meet new teammates. And so it was a tough situation for him to come in. But what was cool was, you know, we saw him get better, and we saw him get more acclimated, not only to the defense, but to his teammates. And so really excited for him to have an off season with us and you know, really learn the defense from the ground up and really have that full runway of training camp and leading into the season. And looking forward to that.
Adam and Dan, if you want to chime in,
I'm not chiming.
Okay.
I chime all the time. I'm not chiming.
You've been through a number with different organizations where you've had success. How do you, when you're trying to look for the future, balance, you know, you have the emotion of the season and what you guys did versus having to take a cold, hard look at how it needs to proceed going forward with decisions making on the roster, et cetera?
Yeah, like today is, like you said, it's a tough day. And so we're just kind of getting through that right now. And now once we really discuss where we want to go next, and coach and our scouts have been working their tails off on the draft and free agency, so really we're just about to turn that page and really sit down with each other and figure out, you know, how we can improve this team and get better for next year.
It's for Adam, as a coordinator next year.
You know, I'll speak on the first part. I thought he did a fantastic job, and I thought he really he led well. He had great energy. He listened. He was, you know, obviously the performance was outstanding. He's a great play caller, but I think just really being able to, I've known Cliff since I was 23, and so I've known him a long time, but never worked next to him. And just to see how hard of a worker he is in the room was really, really special to see. And, you know, I'm sure his time's coming soon.
This question is for Dan. Obviously, your messaging about the scars must have resonated, because Tressway shared that with us in kind of his media availability. What ultimately was behind that in terms of maybe adding fuel and kind of learning from that loss against Philly? And kind of just dig deeper on that scar messaging, please.
Sure. Those tough games that, you know, leave the mark, that's really what we're talking about. And you have to go through them, because you only really get to be back in that spot, in that arena to get to. This was my lesson into this. And the scars are there to remind you of what and how. And it's really hard to get to the game that we got to yesterday. And so I wanted to make sure that it counts, you know, that the lessons are learned and that we're able to apply them moving forward. And but it does sting, you know, it's when you're in front of the team and like you know how hard they have absolutely went for it, you never want to lose that reminder.
Hi, Coach and Adam, but this message is for Coach. Clean out locker room was today, and some of these players will be back and some maybe not. But what was the most important message, whether they're going to be back or not, that you wanted to deliver to each player? Because talking to the players today, they said that you cannot cheat the process.
Yep. That's what you'd like to hear as a coach, Donna. What I said to them last night, I wanted them to, even before they got a chance to visit with you guys, to savor this time. And they've created something together as teammates that is special. And not every locker room is the same year to year, and knowing that next year's team will be different than this year's team. But what they have created, I didn't want them to miss that and lose that, because having great team chemistry is a part of a championship run. And they know exactly what that looks like, and I discussed that today. There'll be some time in between now and when our off-season program begins, and making sure they're checking up on one another and calling in and pushing and doing all the things that great teammates do. And this has been a really, really fun team to coach because of their connection. There'll be plenty of times where a meeting will start and Adam and I'll just be right outside, and I'll wait a minute. I'll just hear the noise and they're inside and enjoying their time together. So I don't always start right then, just because nobody's out in the hall and they're not late. I just know that they enjoy that time that they spend together. And if you can create that as a team and really fight your ass off for it, that's the type of environment we want to, you know, foster as often as we can.
This question's for Coach Quinn. Base and how excited fans were for this run this year. What did that mean to you as the head coach of this team?
You know what it meant? Like, honestly, so much. And there were certain markers that happened along the way this year that the team, we absolutely felt that. And I think from a home game perspective, it was Atlanta was the one, for whatever reason, I think, and Tress even referenced this, we were losing, I believe, at the half. And to hear the crowd erupt, like feeling the support behind them, like you can't help but to win. And so to know that, and then saw Burgundy down in gold in Dallas, and then in Tampa, and smidgens of it in Detroit. And again, yesterday, we feel it. We feel it. And we know how important football is to this community. And so to know that we're a part of that, man, it's really awesome.
For Adam, this team wasn't expected to appear in the NFC Championship game. How does this success that you guys had this season affect how you approach the offseason? Does it make you more aggressive in trades or free agency?
Yeah, I think, you know, every year's different, you know, and every team's different. And so this is where we ended up this year, but every team and trying to get back up.
Don't worry about it. They've heard that message before. They're okay.
Hey there, and this question is for Adam. As you both have mentioned, this is a tough day for you all and for the players as well, but you know, it's still kind of business as usual, right? It's Senior Bowl week, and there's still work to be done. So how do you just kind of focus, Adam, to say, okay, I got to feel the way I feel, but continue on with doing the work of the business?
Yeah, it is, you know, it's sobering, but then getting down, and we're going to go down, a few of us are going to go down to the Senior Bowl tomorrow. And so that's exciting, you know, and we're going to do that, you know, whatever the result of the game was. But really exciting to go down there and be with the guys, be with our scouts that are out on the road all year and working their tails off to get ready for the draft. So, you know, I didn't prepare for this day, you know, and maybe that's silly, but I didn't and wasn't expecting this. And so, you know, you got to kind of come in and turn the page. And so we did that today. And then tomorrow we'll go back down there and look ahead and get caught up with all that.
Could you talk about how good that makes you feel that it resonated, not just words that were on walls, but now it's part of who they are?
Yeah, I love that you shared that Let's start with that. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's really the life of a competitor, and like if that's our central theme that we want here of competing, that's really where it started. You know, whether it's playing on the East Coast, night games, day, anywhere, that all of the opponents got the same regard. And like they were going to get all of us and how we would go do that. And so it really was about us, even though it's anybody, it was really our way. And this is how we will go do things. And so I wanted them to take that life of a competitor and apply it to our whole team. And in different ways, that's just how we would want to get down. And I'm glad that they shared that one with you today, because if there's one, that probably resonates with me as well into that spot. But it really is about us, even though the message has anybody, but it's like how we do things.
Got time for three more?
Hey, Dan, I'm not asking about any individual player, but you brought in some veterans whose obviously first job was to play football, but secondly, help you guys kind of set the standard for yourself and for the team.
Yes.
Moving forward, how do you kind of balance and, I guess, value the veteran leadership versus building a football team that can win long term?
Yeah. Some things don't show up on the stat sheet. They just don't. And people like Adam see that and understand that. It may not come in a metric or next gen stat, but it shows up in a big way. And you've heard me use the word glue guys or great teammates, and all of those things can factor into what, you know, you're looking for to build as a team. So everything matters. And for teammates like that that have a different role, all of them have an impact on winning, but their roles may be different. And so it'll always be a part of our equation. Adam, I believe in team first, and you've heard me say, like, the best part of our team is the team. And that's like a really cool thing to say as a coach, because it's not this group or that group or this one. Like, collectively, the way they work together, like, it's a really cool thing.
This one's for Dan. A lot of players talked about culture, and it's one thing to implement culture, and it's another thing to have it continue to grow, especially as you get here and you acquire new guys. How do you make sure that your culture continues to flourish through the offseason and heading into year two?
Yeah, it's such an important topic, and it really is the work that we do every day, and it's like how we conduct our lives here. And so we're all on the same page here. And I can remember when we added a player to the team, I said, you can ask anybody here, man, a rookie, you know, 10-year vet, we're all on the same page. This is how we do things. This is what we wear for walkthrough. This is where we go to train, whatever that is. And so that's their jobs to pay it forward to the next person. And if that's a new guy coming in, we have a process for what that looks like. And what I do love about a standard and a culture, like, there's a certain level that we're all expected to. Hey, man, that's not to the standard. This is what we do. And so we like having that together. And yeah, it'll be a really important thing from now. And 20 years, we'll look back and say, okay, in 2024, that began. How did it grow stronger? It will grow stronger because it's the people that live it. If it's just a sign on the wall, then you don't really have one. You have to live it.
David, last one.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
You're listening to Dan Quinn and Adam Peters live in Ashburn on the Team 980.
Opportunity to be a head coach, and you thought about, you know, getting a chance to do it again. I do this or I do that. Where did those expectations that you had for yourself come into play this year? And is there a spot where you already kind of know next year you want to get even better?
Yeah, you asked some good questions. There's a lot that I want to get better at. I probably don't have enough time for that. But I would say coming in, I wanted to make sure that, like, all my focus, you know, could be just on the team. And Adam has done a fantastic job of, as my partner here, to go through it, like, you know, day and night, that's where my eyes are. And that was really important to me, to make sure that, like, each meeting, whether it's offense or defense or special teams, that I'm in it, that I know it, and that I didn't have to worry about something else that would go on. And so having that going in, that was one of my top priorities, and knowing I would be at my best doing X, Y, and Z. And so I shared that with him to say, hey, these are, you know, some of the things that are really important for me and what I need, you know, to be successful. And he absolutely delivered on that. And then some.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate All right. You. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you in April.
Yeah. That's what he thinks. No, Dan. We'll see you at the combine. We'll see you before April. That is Dan Quinn and Adam Peters live on the Team 980. You just heard both men answering their questions in their season ending press conference. There's a chance that Peters could talk again at the Senior Bowl. Probably not, because he just talked. But we will see the next time we hear from those guys. Certainly, you'll hear something from them around Combine time, which is now just a month away. And it's kind of the wacky thing that we're not used to here, because it hasn't been an issue in a long time. But you gotta do both. And luckily, I was talking about this with someone earlier today. Adam Peters is used to doing both. Like, he's been in Super Bowls and NFC Championship games, and that's been his life, AFC Championship games, when he was back in Denver and New England. And having a team competing for a championship and continuing the scouting process is not the only thing Adam Peters knows, but it's almost the only thing Adam Peters knows. So I thought that was a good question by someone in there about kind of their timeline and the compressed nature of what they have to do of reviewing their season now and then getting into their offseason as quickly as possible. Peters kept going back to the phrase turning the page, and on his side of it, they've got to do that very, very quickly. But this is also something that is second nature to him, I would imagine, because of all his experience doing that compared to what we're used to, which is like, oh, let's see what happens in the coaching carousel and see what position coach that got fired needs to get filled and who they're going to get hire or who they're going to hire. And then we can review the season and then the Senior Bowl and then the No. It's now, we're already in it. We're at the Senior Bowl portion, and hopefully the staff stays intact. Sounds very much like they'd like to keep as many guys here as possible. When we get back here on the Team 980, back to your phone calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We are taking your calls basically for the rest of the show, as long as you guys are calling here on the Hoffman Show. Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Just heard from Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. We'll play some of that audio throughout the rest of the show, sprinkle it in between your calls. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980 is the phone number where you can just kind of let loose about the season. How you feeling day after on a misery Monday, on a tell-the-truth Monday? Thoughts on the game as well, that miserable four-turnover performance against the Eagles. Let's go to AP. AP, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Hoffman, how you doing?
Doing all right, bro.
That's a silly question to ask you, how you doing, because you're feeling like me. We're all feeling terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. Although considering I was like half dead for most of last week, I'm just happy to be healthy, man. It puts a lot of stuff in perspective. So I'll give you that on a Monday. How about that?
Hey, most definitely. We could always be thankful for that.
For sure.
So watching the game yesterday, you could just kind of tell how the tempo of that game was going, even from the opening kickoff. I was talking to some coworkers about it, just how we muffed the kick initially, and then then we started to seem like our usual selves, going for it on fourth down, sustaining drives. But I just kind of felt we let the wind out of our sails when we went for the field goal rather than trying to drop another high percentage play on fourth down. And, that was a win for Philly's defense. And then, of course, what happens, Saquon takes his 60-plus yards after a good return on the kickoff. So I just felt like, just almost instantaneously from the time that they got the ball, that, that was the tempo, and that was just how the game was going to go. And then obviously the turnovers, in the biggest game of our lives to make it to the Super Bowl, which would then be the next biggest game of our lives, you just can't do that. But if I may, the fan base of Philly, man, they've always had this reputation of just being the nastiest, obnoxious, meanest fan base. But, man, I don't care how, bad or how prideful of a fan you are, but there's always a line that shouldn't be crossed, man. And, like, you know, the videos, I was talking to Anthony about it. The videos I saw, man, just people just trying to get to their cars, go home. It's like, look, we lost, y'all won. Y'all don't even know how to be winners, man. Like, y'all sole winners. Like, just leave people alone, man. Like, most fans wear it on their sleeves, and to then be tormented and harassed and physically assaulted on the way to your car, man, I just think that's where you got to draw the line, man. Hopefully Philly can do better as far as, you know, more law enforcement presence, you know, when people are departing the stadium, because it's just ridiculous what I saw, man. That's all I got. I appreciate you.
Hey, AP, appreciate the call. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't see any of those videos, but I wouldn't be surprised. NFL, how deep do I want to get with this? 301-230-0980. Our phone lines are empty, so if you want to get in, now's a good time to call, because we got full lines available. So with that, I'll take a second. And then I want to circle back to some of the stuff AP said about the game. A lot of people don't like going to NFL games because a lot of folks and a lot of fan bases are drunk, terrible people. Like, I cannot tell you, as someone who goes to a lot of women's sporting events, how much more joyful those games are, because it's a different type of sports fan. And it's actually, in some ways, as women's sports get more popular, getting worse. And it's like, yeah, this is what you want in terms of, like, I would love to see the sports that I love grow. And people are trying to understand why I like women's soccer so much, women's basketball so much. But it's also like, some of y'all can stay home. Like, if you can enjoy this from your couch, be a part of the TV grading, you don't need to come here. Because people go because they genuinely love the game and, like, they want to go see the product and they're there to root for their team, and there's, like, a respect of the opponent. And it's just a way better way to watch sports. And that's my opinion. Some of you guys listening are probably the type of folks that love to go get hammered at a game and yell at the opposing fans. And, like, I love to compete. But competition is about what happens on the field. And you can razz people. You can have a good time. Hey, safe trip home. Like, that's fun. Putting your hands on people in real life, that's a real mess around and find out type of moment. You do that to the wrong person, and I don't say this, like, for shock value or to encourage this or endorse this, but you do that to the wrong person, and that's the last thing you do. Like, it's a scary world out there. And so, if that stuff was happening in Philly, it is all too on brand. And it's why, like, players will not let their family go to road games at Philadelphia. And that's disgusting. That's a terrible, terrible look for a great city. Like, I actually have a lot of love for Philadelphia because my wife is from there. I've now spent a little bit of time there, but I used to hate going. And, like, I didn't like the city. I didn't like, because it's just like the people. It's one thing to be prideful, it's one thing to be all that stuff, but, like, for what? So, yeah, I hope that it continually is just a better, it's just a better atmosphere at NFL games, period. And that the drunk morons who make those games terrible to exist at will stop being drunk morons, because being a drunk moron is no way to be. That's my fan take. Real quick on the stuff that AP brought up about the game. The fourth down attempt is an interesting one. Like, the reason they went for it on those fourth downs is in part because they're kind of in no man's land. They're not in a confident Zane Gonzalez field goal is going to go in zone, and they're not in a it's worth punting zone. And I appreciate that aggressiveness from DQ, but once they were on their third, fourth down, and they are in a very comfortable field goal range, I also don't mind kicking there. In hindsight, you know, obviously you needed that and those 4 points and a lot more if you could get them. And you can't be that scared of not getting points there because you've literally failed on fourth down on the first two drives of the previous two playoff games. But I also didn't really mind it. It just looked a million times worse when you give up a 40-yard kickoff return and a 60-yard touchdown on the next two plays. And I agree that, you know, Philly had an energy about them from go in that game that was just different. And it really, as I'm watching that opening drive, was like, man, is Jaden just going to overcome this all by himself? Because they had multiple third downs, multiple fourth downs, obviously, and he just made plays. And I was like, I guess we thought he was going to have to win the game, but this seems to be taking it to an extreme. And then, of course, there's nothing he can do when he gets the ball on guys and they fumble it and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's keep rolling with the calls. Let's go to JD. JD, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Craig, what up, man?
What up?
Look, I was just, I don't usually call into the radio shows during the week. I usually do post-game stuff, but I just want to get the vibe of everybody after the loss. It's a positive feeling to me. We get to see Adam Peters really do a whole GM thing for a full season here and see about, you know, plugging in some holes and drafting new people. So I'm excited about that aspect of what we got coming for us. The lost things, obviously you don't want 55 put up on us at any time. That sucks. The only person I root for in Philly is Saquon Barkley. But other than that, it's just like, you know, a winnable game in my eyes if we take away the turnovers. We were looking to come back out of a hole there to score that one touchdown until the fumble happened. So there's that. I'm not going to pick apart every part of the game, but what I liked about is the fight throughout the whole season, man. This team did not give up no matter what kind of predicament we were in. We have a bright future with young Jaden there. And if we get some, you know, some solid pieces and reinforce a lot of the players that are kind of we're going to lose through free agency. We stock up there. I think we're in good shape. The NFC East is going to be very competitive again next year, regardless of what we think about the Schottenheimer hire or what, you know, what kind of state New York is in. The NFC East is always going to be a place where it's going to be a battleground. So I think with that, we have a good chance to kind of make our mark and kind of push forward next season. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the development of some of our young guys that we already seen flash already. So overall, I think it's good. Sucks that we lost. I'll be real for KC. Yeah, I'm bitter. But, you know, it is what it is. And I feel like we're going to move forward from here, man.
JD, always appreciate it. Great to talk to you, bro. I agree on so much what you said. Like, the fight they showed. I mean, that was what was so jarring in some ways about yesterday. What was the last time there was time left on the clock and you didn't feel like they had a chance? Not since the Hail Mary. Like, you've always felt, oh, they'll find a way. I guess maybe the last time would have been Week 11 versus the Eagles, where, like, Saquon gets that run, that second one, and you're like, okay, this game's over. But that one was super late. Not with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Like, that's the Luvu shenanigans happen at like 12:35, I think, is the final snap of that sequence. And at that point, you're like, okay, this is probably over. And that hasn't happened. It didn't happen that early all year. Maybe Tampa, I guess, in week one. But the fight this team has and the never say die attitude, I appreciate the hell out of how they compete. And that is DQ's thing. He's like, this is, we're about, you know, the anytime or anybody, anywhere, anytime is about the life of a competitor. That was what he just said in our press conference or the press conference that we aired for you, Carrie, live here on the Team 980 about 40 minutes ago. And I'm also excited to see what Adam Peters can do in a full off season. Like, he hired some scouts, like they did some things quietly in the background. And so we'll get to see. Now he's got to work magic because they're drafting way later than we anticipated them drafting. And that's a hard thing to do in year two of a rebuild, quote unquote, or recalibration, as they're put it, as they, you know, as Adam said in that press conference, every year you're 0-0. You got to start from the ground up. And so we'll see what they can do. Obviously, when you're on the ground and your quarterback's already in the bunker with you, that tends to help quite a bit. More of your calls next. If you're on hold, stay there. We do have a couple lines available at 301-230-0980. But first, a look at what's trending. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Going back and forth in the chat about the Commanders cornerbacks. I'm sure that will be a topic of discussion over the next couple of weeks, if not months. So if you have anything that you want us to talk about this offseason or have any ideas for us this offseason, certainly open to it. You can email us. Just go to HoffmanShow.com. Use the contact link. Also, you can shoot me a message on Instagram at Hoffman.sports. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on TikTok. I think those are, YouTube, obviously. Leave a comment somewhere. I read pretty much all of them. So you can go ahead and do that and let us know some of the things that you'd like to hear us talk about, whether it's a specific part of Commander's world or whether it's non-Commander's things. Definitely would be open to your feedback as we remember what the hell we do in the offseason, because I don't remember. Because the offseason, thankfully, was a long, long time ago. But we will have plenty of coverage, of course, of everything going on with the Commanders and the Senior Bowl and all the college scouting stuff. But also the NBA trade deadline coming up. You know, think Kyle Kuzma very well could be on the move, amongst other things for the Wizards and all the other NBA stuff that's happening. We will get into that, slowly kind of bleeding that back in over the next couple of weeks. Okay, let's get back to the phones, though. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Shaq. Shaq, thanks for holding. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, how you doing, Craig? It's a little disappointing, but, I think the moment, and we got a young team, moment was a little too big for us. And, you can see the talent level that Philly has, and that's what we know that we need to upgrade our talent level. I don't think nothing's off the board come the draft other than quarterback. And, that's what we just need to, upgrade our talent, but overall it's a good season and our coaching carried us a long ways. Cause you gotta look, next year everything is not gonna go perfect like this year did.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate that, Shaq, a lot, because I think, there's people today that are like, oh, the coaches in negative ways. And I'm like, these coaches got you to the NFC championship game with this roster. And I know that Jaden was the main engine, but like, who do you think was guiding Jaden? Who let Jaden be Jaden to the extent that he was Jaden? Who helped elevate Jaden to the extent he was being elevated? Who helped get the other guys in the right spots? Who helped the offensive line that was not very talented keep Jaden upright for most of the year? Who did enough defensively? And I know there's some bad defensive numbers. They ultimately finished 23rd in DVOA. But if you were to take just the back half of the season, like they're definitely a lot higher. I can look up that number here in a second. But like, they got better as the year went on. I think position by position, guy over guy, unit over unit, this is a group that grew together. And it was a lot of fun to watch. I think on the Philly side of it, though, it's worth pointing out, like, they're going to get better too, which is kind of scary. I guess the one thing for Philadelphia that they have to worry about is their offensive line is getting older and more banged up. And that is a team that has been built around that offensive line. And Jeff Stoutland, who is the guy as the offensive line coach in the NFL and the guy in Philly, who's kind of kept it that way for a long time and has been a part of so many of these guys' development, like, he's not a young man. And so if as long as Stoutland's there, they're going to be fine in that unit. And they've got Mailata, who's relatively young. Juergens at center is relatively young. Dickerson's got a couple more years left at least. But on the right side, like, Lane Johnson is at the end of the road within the next year or two. And then Mekhi Becton at right guard. But they got to find a replacement for Johnson. And then what happens if Stoutland were to leave? I mean, the Patriots looked incredible for years and years and years along the offensive line. And then Dante Scarnecchia retired, and they were so bad that they lured him out of retirement. So things can change quickly in the NFL. That is the nature of things. Mailata had some injury problems this year for the first time. He's a big man. Hopefully that, I'm not wishing injury on anyone. Hopefully that was just a freak thing that happened this year. But Dickerson's got the injury, obviously. Juergens has this bad back. Like, you just don't know. But by and large, Philadelphia is going to be good for a long time. They're the team you're going to have to get through. Now, if Jaden elevates to a different level, even than he got to now, and he's the best quarterback in the conference by a mile, maybe he's enough with some slight upgrades to get you there. But when you think about building the team, if you're Adam Peters, you got to think about building a team that has answers for Jalen Carter, that has answers for those receivers that can stop the run. You know, Saquon, who knows when it goes sideways for a running back, but Saquon is obviously nowhere close to the end after just rushing for 2,000 yards this season. Saquon's not young, but he's not old. So I'm very, very curious to see when they attack this offseason, how many moves they make. Obviously, they always want to be about them. They want to build the team that they want to build. But in this division, in this conference, you've got to build a team that can beat Philly. In the same way that Buffalo and Baltimore and a lot of these teams are trying to think about, hey, we know in the playoffs we're going to have to beat Pat Mahomes. And nobody's figured out how to do it yet. Not in the last 3 years. But they're thinking about it. And that's going to impact their team building in a way that's really smart, because if you don't beat Pat Mahomes, you don't go to the Super Bowl. Can't win the Super Bowl, which is the ultimate goal, if you don't beat Pat Mahomes. And so in the NFC right now, where Philly's gone two of the last 4 years, and their core is wholly intact moving forward, because not only are these guys relatively young, or at least not old, in the case of like an A.J. Brown, right? He's in his late 20s. But they're also paid, and they're in good cap situations. Because the other thing that is a huge advantage in the NFL that Philadelphia has, that Washington will also have, thank goodness, is an owner willing to spend cash. If you are willing to spend cash early, you can sign guys early, you wind up paying them less in the long run, and you keep flexibility in your cap situation to always be ready to make the next move. And you can kind of just keep pushing some of that stuff off, and the right guys will come up at the right times, and you can push forward as long as you also draft well. And that's the Adam Peters part of this, is he's going to have the benefit of being able to pay guys early. They should pay Jaden as soon as humanly possible. They'll eventually pay Mike Sainer still early, as opposed to letting it get late. So when those guys come up, those young players that they draft and are good and they want to retain, they also need to make sure that they are filling the right spots in free agency, and then balancing all that out with continued young, cheap talent in the draft. That's how you stay good in the NFL. And obviously Washington is well positioned to do so, but they have a lot of flexibility because for the next 4 years, they will not have to pay their quarterback, you know, the $50, $60, $70 million that he would be worth if he was on the open market. Because he is locked into that rookie contract he got last year after being the number two overall pick. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, more of your calls at 301-230-0980.